Hello there, trusting things are going well for you today. Stay tuned for our broadcast. We're going to be looking at the subject of discouragement. This program might help you. Stay tuned. At the subject of fighting discouragement. To fight means to have a purpose to gain a victory over an enemy. We have no greater enemy than the enemy of discouragement. It's been said it's the greatest tool the devil has to get sincere Christians off track. Paul the Apostle said in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight. He said in 1 Corinthians 9:26, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. He said in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight. And in Hebrews 10 and 32, we read, endure a great fight of affliction. If we're going to get over the discouragement thing, and we all have a problem with it if we're honest, if we're going to get over it, we are going to have to fight. We are going to endeavor vigorously to win this battle, or we will simply lose it. Discouragement, what is it? It is to be deprived of confidence. It is to take away the truth of something. The dictionary says that confidence is the state of feeling certain about the truth of something. Discouragement takes away our confidence. It is first mentioned in the Bible in Numbers 21, verse number 4. It says, the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Much discouraged because of the way. Now, if we're going to fight discouragement, the first thing we need to do is determine the severity of the discouragement. How intense is it? What is the degree of strength that it has against us? It is important to understand that. There's basically three areas of discouragement: mild, strong, and disabling. A mild discouragement is just something that comes from the daily pressures and will affect our emotions. A strong discouragement is something that will not only affect our emotions, but it'll affect our spirit, and that's serious. A disabling discouragement will not only affect our emotions, our spirit, but also our mental and even our physical situation. And so what we need to do is to realize where we are here in this discouragement level if we're going to fight it. We read about David and his men in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse number 4 when they got home from fighting the battle and their city was on fire and their families were gone. The Bible says that they wept until they had no more power to weep. That's a disabling discouragement. And you'd do well to look at that chapter and see how he got over it. 1 Samuel 30 and verse number 4. And so the severity of discouragement, it deals with our mind, our will, our emotions, and even our physical if it goes far enough. So what we need to do is determine to deal with discouragement quickly, deal with it when it's only mild, and it's a lot less trouble to get through it. Well, the second thing we need to look at, not only the severity of the discouragement, but the seeds of the discouragement, the beginning of a feeling or a process. That's what the dictionary says seeds are, the beginning of a feeling or a process. For example, we might say the conversation sowed a tiny seed of doubt in someone's mind. So we have seeds. There's some of them that can really lead to discouragement. One is unbelief. One is fear. One is self-pity. One is self-condemnation. Whatever they are all based on Satan's lies, and we need to understand that. So determine the severity of the discouragement, the starting point or the seeds of the discouragement, and then the source of the discouragement. The discouragement is going to stem from a place, from a person, or from a thing. For instance, is the discouragement coming from a place? Is it coming from my home? Is it coming from the church? Is it coming from my job? Where is this discouragement coming from? Sit down and figure that out. Then it might be a person. Is it somebody in my family? Is it a friend or is it an enemy? Where and who? Who is this person that is causing me to be discouraged? And if it's not a place and it's not a person, it's probably a thing. Like the car. Oh, that car is broken down again. Or it's the home. There, the furnace not working again today. Or it's the body. I've come to the conclusion in life that one week it's going to be my car, and that's going to rob me of some money. I'm going to have to fix that car. And then the next week it's going to be my home, and I'm going to have to spend some money on something that's broken down there. And the next week it's going to be my body. I'm going to go have to get a prescription of some kind, spend some more money. And then every once in a while I get a week off. But it's going to come. It's going to either be a place, it's going to be a person, it's going to be a thing. We read in Numbers 21 and 4, while they were out traveling in the wilderness, it says that the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. The soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Now, we need to understand in that situation with Israel, it was their own fault. I mean, they refused to cross over the Jordan and go into the promised land, and so they were stuck to wander in the wilderness, and they were much discouraged because of their own way, because of the way that they chose. So we need to be careful to determine, is it coming from the way I have chosen? Where is this discouragement coming from? Now, those days in Israel, what'd they do? Well, they found somebody to blame. They're going to blame Moses for all of this. You should have left us back there in Egypt. No, they should have crossed over the River Jordan and gone into the promised land like they were told to do, but they wouldn't do it. And so they were much discouraged. The soul, what is that? The mind, the will, the emotions of the people was much discouraged because of the way. So the source of discouragement, is it people? Numbers 32:7, wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord has given them. Why are you discouraging us from going? Some wanted to go across, most of them didn't. Then in Numbers 32:9, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. So there you have a case of some people discouraging other people. You can even have it from the parent. It says in Colossians 3:21, fathers, provoke not your children lest they be discouraged. And so we got to be careful that we don't be used of the devil even to discourage our own children. Or is it disapproval? You know, a lot of discouragement comes because of disapproval. Well, should parents never disapprove children? Should police never disapprove people who speed? Should a pastor never disapprove people in the church that are doing wrong? Should God never disapprove it when we sin? Of course, we're going to face disapproval every day, and we need to understand that. But our greatest source of discouragement is self. Most of our discouragement is self-afflicted, because we are reacting wrong, usually, to disapproval. We are looking for satisfaction, perhaps, in the wrong place. Some people think, well, I'm just going to be married and then I'm going to be happy forever. Oh, no. No, you won't find satisfaction because you got married. Well, it's going to be in my home. If I could just get that new home, I could get that bigger living room, and if I could get that nice rec room. No, you're going to find out that's not going to do it either. And then one real trick of the devil is to get us discouraged through our churches. Now, churches, homes, these are very important places. But if you're looking for your satisfaction in the church, you're going to find out it's not going to work for you. Why? Because only Jesus can satisfy the soul. And so we need to go to the source of satisfaction and not be seeking it in some place where we're going to get discouraged because it's not there. It's not there. And so our homes, great. Our marriages, wonderful. Our churches, great things. But only Jesus can satisfy the soul. We get the idea that if the church gets bigger, I'll be satisfied. No, you'll just have more source of discouragement. You'll have more things that will go wrong. You'll have more things in that big church that'll break down and cost money. Oh, if I could just get some more buildings. No, that's not going to work. Oh, I know what would really make me happy, and I would never be discouraged, if people would just appreciate me. that has said that is the greatest craving that people have, is to be appreciated. Well, check the Bible. You look inside the Bible and you'll find out that not too many people who were really standing for the cause of Jesus Christ were appreciated. And as a matter of fact, most of the time they were despised if they really stood for the cause of Jesus Christ. So don't go looking for it there. Besides that, the Bible says we reap what we sow. So if we're not being appreciated, maybe we're not sowing enough appreciation. I don't know. Think it through. Well, the greatest source of discouragement is self. Sometimes it's unwise comparisons. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:12, comparing ourselves among ourselves, we are not wise. We look at other people and we say, well, I want what they want. Well, we get these expectations, and sometimes if they do not become a reality of what we expect, then we get discouraged. Well, don't expect anything. You know, all we really deserve is to go straight to hell. And if you're saved, you're not going there. So that's a plus. But we get these expectations. I expect this and I expect that. No. That can really lead to a lot of discouragement when it doesn't become a reality. You know, we quote that verse, all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. Well, God will give you what you need, not necessarily what we expect. And so unmet expectations can bring a lot of discouragement. Here's a biggie, assuming responsibilities that are not ours. What we need to do is to know what our God-given responsibilities are and reject all the ones that are not ours. For example, today, sometimes pastors take responsibilities that belong to fathers. I was at a Bible college one time preaching there, and there was a few pastors around, and one of the pastors said, I have 14 children at this college here. I said, you and your wife have 14 children? No. He said, I have 14 children from my church. I said, well, those are not your children. Those children belong to some parents out there. You know, what happens is we take the responsibility as pastors, sometimes very sincerely, that belong to the father. And so the father says, oh, well, you're going to take my responsibility. Maybe I should take yours. And he comes down and tries to run the church, tell the pastor how to do things. Well, you know, what the pastor needs to do is to talk to the father and try to help him with his children and let him decide what college the kids go to. That's a father's responsibility, not a pastor's responsibility. But we're going to switch. The pastor says, hey, I'll take dad's responsibility. And dad says, well, okay, fine. I'll go down to the church and take the pastor's responsibility. The devil's having a heyday. Now, the Bible is very clear with all of our titles, whether it's children or wife or husband, pastor, deacon, doesn't matter what it is, our responsibilities are plainly put in the Bible, and all we have to do is go figure out what they are, know what our God-given responsibilities are, and leave the ones alone that are not ours. Well, another reason that we can get into discouragement is having a philosophy of ministry that is not scriptural. That is how we do what God has commanded us to do. We get some unscriptural programs, and then we get discouraged because they don't work out right. Well, if you want to determine what to do in a church, for example, here's the wrong way to do it. And this is what I did for years in my early ministry. Number one, I get a goal. I had a goal. We're going to have the largest church in Canada. That was my goal. I'm going to get a method. Well, what method will I use? Well, whatever works. You know, we had Snoopy and the Red Baron landing in a helicopter one Sunday morning. One Sunday morning, we had 7 Santa Clauses riding on 7 buses, and they all came into church arguing who was the real Santa Claus, and that was in August. And I mean, that's not church. That is foolishness. That is using unwise ways of pragmatism in order to try and be the biggest church in Canada. Well, what happens when we get a goal and then we develop a method, and our method becomes tradition, and our tradition becomes our doctrine, and then this wrong doctrine is accepted as truth? How should we do it? We should begin with the truth, not pragmatism. We need to study the scriptures and that'll reveal what the doctrines are, develop Bible-based traditions from those doctrines, and then use Bible methods in order to reach lost people and have scriptural goals. And it will save a lot of time in getting ourselves discouraged because we're just not doing things God's way. Well, we're out of time again already. I hope this has been a help through fighting the discouragement that comes into our life. Tune in again tomorrow for another broadcast.